All right, Roman Harper with us now on the Pepsi Hotline, one of our favorites. You see him on the SEC Network now. Harp, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up, guys? Doing well, man. Just put my baby boy down for a nap. Going to try and get me some lunch here, man, and I got to fold some clothes and got to watch a little tape, man. I got to catch up on
You got a full day.
All right, Harp going to be
like
with
a fun
us.
Thursday.
Harp's going to spend the next hour with us here on the show.
don't want to wake the baby.
Yes. Let's start with Arkansas, Texas A&M. A&M has been anything but fluid at quarterback. Arkansas is not necessarily fluid at quarterback, but boy, they run the ball well. And Harp, as you know, a solid run game like that can even out any sort of talent differential. I like Arkansas to keep this game close. Don't know if they can win it, but I think they can play toe-to-toe with Texas A&M Saturday.
You don't think they can win it?
Well, I don't think they will win it. I think they can win it. I should have said that.
Okay, all right, all right. It's all about verbiage for me.
Yeah, my apologies.
Yes, I'm very particular about that. You guys know me. So I think with Arkansas's offense, I think K.J. Jefferson has done a really good job of kind of figuring out who he has to be successful in this offense, and that is really running the ball. I think he gains confidence when they run the ball. I think he gains confidence when he's running the ball, and it makes the offense a little bit more dynamic and allows them to really kind of balance it out. You put your wide receivers like Treylon Burks in one-on-one situations where you like his matchup versus just about anybody. Texas A&M has a great defense, and Arkansas does too. So I don't think this game will be extremely high-scoring. This is going to be like look a lot like when I was in college, you know, 28-27, 21-17. That's about what I'm thinking either way. I think I really like Arkansas, though. To me, I like a team. I'm always confident in a team that to play, who knows who they are, who plays up to their standard or who they're supposed to be every single time. Where you look at Texas A&M is like, have they really played up to the standard and what you thought they were going to be? Or have they played down a little bit? Have they not looked as good as they should or what you and thought they would be? And so for me, that's going to be the separator. And Texas A&M is not blocking people very well on the offensive line. So if Arkansas can take advantage of those things right there, I think they got a chance to win it. And I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a lights-out game. But I'm ready for Arkansas and this defense to continue to be flying around and making plays like they normally do.
Harp, let's take it back to last Saturday in Gainesville. Alabama escapes 31-29. They were outscored 26-10 the final three quarters. Now there's a lot of people saying this Alabama team is not elite. Is that an overreaction?
Well, it's not an overreaction if you're trying to compare them to last year's team, which is a historically great team. And that's what we're kind of living in the midst of. But also, I just got to be real, LT. So many college football fans, they are so over the Alabama woe is me buzz that you escaped with a 2-point loss in the swamp on a tough environment. Like, nobody feels bad for you, Alabama. You should just be happy. And now you understand why Nick Saban has been harping on all the details and being pissed off every week, because he sees it at practice. And he's tired of seeing from the players like, hey, yeah, coach, I got it. I'm going to do it on Saturday. And he's like, no, you're not. You don't got it. And it comes out, and the same things that happen in practice are probably happening in the game. And Alabama fans should be happy that you're able to correct these mistakes after a win, a close win at that, and not have your heart hurt after a loss.
You know, Harp, I because of the Alabama effect, everyone always assumes it's something Alabama didn't do and not what Florida did. I thought Florida had a great plan at running the football from the second quarter on. Tell me what you liked about this Gator team, and did they impress you, surprise you maybe a little bit on what they were able to do?
Well, I would say yes. They did surprise me, and I did like what they did. I thought Dan Mullen did an amazing job. Going back and watching the tape, the way he flooded some of their zones, and really it's kind of disruptive of some of the schemes and the man schemes, how Alabama does their matching and things of their principles defensively. Dan Mullen did a great job of getting guys out late in the routes that really opened it up for Emory Jones in the passing game, as well as the way they ran the ball in the run game. And, you know, Alabama did not play the option well. When the defensive end has the quarterback, you got to get the quarterback. You can't not do that, because now the linebacker that's scraping over the top can't just play the pitch. He has to play quarterback to pitch. So by the time he gets the running back down, that's 7 yards. So it looks like, oh, man, they don't know what they're doing. But it's actually just one thing messes up, and then it leads to another thing, and then everybody else has to make up for that. And you look up, and now you're in second and three, which is what Florida wants to be in anyway. So it was just really interesting to see those things. And Florida did a great job. And it was so funny. I think they really improved and kind of changed my mindset, because going into the game, you thought, oh, man, Florida has to have Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson play well and, you know, do these other things just for them to have a chance, just for them to win the game. And actually, you leave out, if you're Florida, you're way more confident in what Emory Jones is able to do. You're saying that, hey, he can lead us to anything that we want to accomplish. It's still all right there in front of us. And we got to save Anthony Richardson. He didn't hurt himself even more versus the Alabama team. Whether you won or lost that game didn't really determine your future, because you still have to beat Georgia if you want to make the SEC championship and have a chance to say on anything. So you beating Alabama really didn't do anything for you if you still go out there and lose to Georgia. So I think for Florida, it's a win-win situation. A lot of the fans are more confident, and they believe in Emory Jones a lot more. And also, I'm sure Florida as a whole, as a team, says, we can play against the best of the best. And so it's amazing to see, after a loss, you're still more confident going out of this game.
Roman Harper with us from the SEC Network. He is on the Pepsi Hotline, at @Harp_41 on Instagram is where you follow him. On Twitter, @Harp41. Just throw the underscore in there for Instagram. Pro Football Focus, Harp, the college side of that, they grade film. I don't know that they get it right, but I don't know how to grade film, so I can't check them. They graded Henry To'oto at 50, gave him a grade of 50 against the run Saturday, which is not good, obviously. When you watch the tape, did the same thing jump out at you with Alabama's middle linebacker?
No, not really. I mean, he fit a couple runs maybe a little bit wrong, but he's such an instinctual player. I mean, they don't know. That's the one thing that bothers me about pro football. And look, they've done better, and they've gotten better people to study the film and all that stuff. But it's not like he's not going to start. And the only knock I have on To'oto is he's not as big as I thought he was.
Yeah,
he's not a very big linebacker, but he still can run. He actually plays really good in pass coverage too, which is something that Christian Harris doesn't do as well. So, and if you really want to see some linebackers, like, go look at Georgia. Those guys are scary. That's a scary defense. In Alabama, they got to play complete team defense and lean on their game changers, which is Will Anderson, To'oto, and Christian Harris. Those guys have got to be game changers. Josh Jobe has to be a game changer on the outside. They can't just throw up a one ball and all of a sudden they get a lucky play penalty against them for pass interference, which is more and more what teams and offenses are doing now. That's also why sometimes I was kind of frustrated watching some of the play calls of the defense of Alabama, not just the players, it's the play calling as well, where sometimes if a quarterback is not shown that he can consistently beat you throwing the football, sometimes it's better just to play coverage. Because when you blitz them on a third down or a fourth down situation, as soon as they see blitz, they're just throwing a one ball to the outside and say, hey, the worst thing that could happen, you know, three things are going to happen. They're going to knock it down, or we're going to catch it, or we're going to get a pass interference. And two out of those three things are good for us. So they just throw it up, and then you get one of those. And you saw that a couple times on Saturday, and I just want to be better as a whole, as a unit, if you're playing defense for Alabama.
Kentucky surviving Chattanooga is not like Alabama surviving Florida, but I still believe in this Kentucky team. I don't know where you are. These guys dog me out because I say Kentucky can get to 10 wins. I love the addition of Robinson. I love Rodriguez running the football. I think Levis is a quality quarterback. He's not great, but he's quality. And it's Mark Stoops' defense. Where are you on Kentucky? I know it's a tricky game, especially only -5 on the road in Columbia this week. But ultimately, where do you think Kentucky ends up?
No, I'm with you, LT. I don't think they get 9 or 10 wins, but they're definitely – in the conversation, and that's only be, and I say that because you got to beat Florida if you're going to get, and that's just like, you know, I could slap Superman in the face if he's kryptonite on his neck, you know what I mean? And that's what Florida is with Kentucky. It's just, they just can't beat them for whatever reason. But I do like what Kentucky's doing. I love the offensive game plan. They look different. They feel different. And the one check I give in Kentucky's box, I know it wasn't a pretty win versus Chattanooga, but the first game, they won the game, and they threw the ball for 400-plus yards. The second game versus Missouri, they ran the ball for 200 yards with Chris Rodriguez, and didn't throw it as well. This last game, they struggled throwing the ball well on just average plays. But they scored defensively to set them up to win the game. So that's three games. That's three different ways that you won a game. And that shows me that, hey, we can win in multiple facets. And going down the stretch, those are the most dangerous teams, that they don't just beat you one way. They can beat you special teams. They can beat you defensively, and they can beat you offensively throwing or running the football. That right there means that you got more outs. I like Kentucky for those reasons.
You're way too young to have had a magic eight ball when you were a kid. It was the worst Christmas gift ever. Back when I got one.
Yeah, that's
one.
A terrible Christmas gift, but I had one. No. It's a terrible Christmas gift, though.
It was horrible. It wasn't the only thing I had under the tree, but it was one of the things. But I hated it because, you know, it was just so random. But if you're shaking that magic eight ball and telling me what you're getting from LSU or Mississippi State this weekend, I think it would be too early to tell, or whatever that ambiguous one would pop up there. Can you make heads or tails of this LSU-Mississippi State game this weekend? And is there anything you like about either one of these teams that's consistent?
Mississippi State's defense is pretty consistent. Like, these guys fly around and they make plays. I mean, they only gave up like one touchdown versus Memphis. Everything else was on the offense and the special teams and everybody else's fault. Had nothing to do with Mississippi State's defense. They're good. That is the most consistent thing. But I will say this. The one thing I do know coming out about this game is that neither team cares about running the football, and neither team is going to even try and run the football. That shocks me when I look at LSU and Coach O and his mentality and what they're always trying to talk about and this, that, and the other. When LSU, they don't even try and run the football. They got Max Johnson dropping back, throwing the ball 45 times. They have to try and protect him and keep him out of harm's way versus Mississippi State and that defensive line and that pressure that they bring. And their cornerbacks of Mississippi State are some of the tops in all of the SEC. They tackle extremely well in space, and I really like the way that they play. But offensively, they score in bunches, but they score in spurts. And then you could also go two quarters of seeing Mississippi State not do anything offensively. So I don't know what to expect. You guys are right. I still have not picked a winner in that game. But it's still out there. The jury's still out there when it comes to what LSU is, who versus who we think they can be, and what they've actually shown us. I think Durante Jones has done a better job the last couple weeks since the UCLA disappointing loss of, all right, what are we trying to get accomplished on defense each and every snap, and can we actually line up and play the call that I'm calling?
All right, he is Roman Harper. See him on the SEC Network at Harp41 on Twitter, at Harp_41 on Instagram. Roman, it is always great, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it, guys. Check me out, man. We'll be down there in Columbia. Hopefully I'm not sweating too much. Last week in Gainesville was awful. And you know what? I didn't know Gainesville was so, like, they say it's the swamp. It's, like, in the middle of nowhere. This is what they call rural Florida.
Rural Florida. We got to get you some nut dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need that. That sounds like something I could probably use.
We ask if the alligator chomped at Feinbaum there at the end, would it have gone straight to bone? Like it's when you bite into a piece of chicken and you get nothing but bone?
You know, the thing was, so literally I'm watching this live. And, you know, before the show came on, they let us, like, hold the baby gator, right? Which I think was the SEC. SEC Nation was the gator's name. And then Paul, as soon as the show starts, Paul, like, I love Paul because Paul's, like, locked in once he's paying attention. And then when he's not listening to anybody, he's, like, off on a tangent somewhere. He's on his phone. He's not even on stage. We don't even know where Paul is. So all of a sudden the camera comes on, and Paul's, like, right there in front of the gator. And I'm over here at, like, Paul, you know we didn't practice this, right? This is not it. This is not what we practiced or talked about, Paul. And he's over here like, hey, throw me the pin. I'm going to see if I can stab it. I'm like, Paul, don't touch the gator, Paul. Please don't touch the gator. So, you know, and our producers and stuff in the trucks and stuff were like, oh, my God, they're all freaking out about Paul. They're like, what is Paul doing? What is Paul? Paul. And next you know, it makes for great TV. Every week, Paul gives us something that we just are not ready for. The first week, he smashed the Texas University of Texas helmet, which then the University of Texas is calling us like, hey, we're probably going to need you to replace that helmet. You're supposed to just borrow the helmet. But Paul slammed the helmet. Kind of disrespectful to slam our helmet, too. So, you know, who cares? Who cares? It's all about good TV.
That's right. All right, Harp. Thanks, man. Enjoy Columbia.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, buddy. Take care. Roman Harper with us on the Pepsi Hotline. Consistently one of the smartest guests we have on the show, by the way.
He just
so good.
He watches nonstop and really puts a lot of pride in his job.